From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
All right, and with that, we will turn it over to Bob from Bob After Dark, live on the Zoom. Bob, you could start the show naturally if you like. We could cut this part out of the podcast, and it doesn't have to be a thing. So, Bob.
I don't get a hype man ever, so.
Go ahead and.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome back to a very interesting episode of Bob After Dark. I'm your host with the most and choice toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing it forever, the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey, Bob. Yes, it's a little different if you're, if it's on the radio, it probably doesn't sound that much different, but if you're watching on the Jet TV, Bob, live from an undisclosed location.
I am in recuperation central right now.
Yeah, look at that.
So it has been a weird month. Yeah. It's been a very weird month. If you guys listened to the last episode of the podcast, you've got an idea of what happened that released last week. The new episode of the podcast, by the way, is coming out tomorrow. Fun fact, but I digress. So you guys might have been like, hey, where's Bob been for like the past 2-3 weeks?
Yeah.
So I have a timeline of events. Okay. Are you ready for this timeline of events?
Let's hear the timeline.
Okay. So the last time I seen you guys, it was the week before I met Dan Aykroyd. It was the week before I met Dan Aykroyd. Yes. Yeah. So the week before I met Dan Aykroyd, that's when we had Joe on the show.
Before, yeah. Yep.
So so after Joe comes on the show, my body starts feeling weird, but I ignore it. I pretend out of sight, out of mind, right? This was going on since Boston, but I got back into town and we did the show. And as we progressed through, I think my brain overshot my like physiology of my body. Like, it's just like, nope, you're getting this done regardless. So we get to Wonderverse in Oak Brook for the influencer party with Crystal Head Vodka. It goes a really good time. We have a blast until I start getting sick. My stomach is churning. There is a weird pain in my abdomen. It is terrible. I power through. I put a smile on. I drink my Crystal Head Vodka and just chalk it up to nerves. Well, not much longer after I met Dan Aykroyd, pitched to him Bob After Dark, which, by the way, he agreed to come on. I'm in negotiations to make that work. So I get done with the event. I get done meeting Dan Aykroyd. I got violently ill at that point. I'll spare you guys the gory details. I managed to keep networking through the event post getting ill. I make it. I somehow drive 40 minutes home. Stayed on the phone with my mother because I needed to talk to somebody during that drive home. I made it home. I nearly passed out the second I got in the door from the pain and discomfort. That entire night, I did not sleep. There was no sleep. I was sick. Leave it at that. You know, trying to, you know, TMI, right?
Yeah.
So we go through, we do all of that. Tuesday, I wake up with my 2-3 hours of sleep. And I try at this point, nerves are out the door. It's not nerves. There is legitimately what I believe is food poisoning going through my body. Okay. No problem. Nope. I know how to handle this. You have Rice Krispies for breakfast. Mm-hmm. You have soup for dinner. That's what you have. Right?
Here.
Water. Yeah. Water throughout the day. Okay, well, at some points throughout the day, my muscles started violently aching, right? And I start running a fever, which is unusual for me. I don't run fevers very often. It was 101.5. And I was like, okay, if I'm still feeling bad tomorrow, I'll at least go to an immediate care. Because if this is food poisoning, there's nothing they're going to do for me anyway but slap an IV in me and send me home and tell you to wait it out. So I wake up the next morning and my abdomen is pain. Like, fist is just gripping my stomach and my back starts hurting. And that's when I said, okay, there's definitely something wrong somewhere. I get to the immediate care. They're like, you know, you probably have food poisoning. Let's run a CT scan, get blood work done, you know, and come back. I get the CT scan done. I get the blood work done. And I get back to the immediate care. The doctor, nurse practitioner, whoever was in charge that day calls me and says, hey, Bob, you know, I appreciate that you came back here, but there's nothing I can do for you. All right. What do you mean? She's like, your appendix is going to burst.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, that ain't good. So get over to the hospital, get checked in like immediately. I was at the immediate care is like right across the street from the ER. So I go from there, I get to the ER, and in a matter of an hour and a half, I'm on a table getting wheeled down to surgery. I'm sitting there plugging Bob After Dark to the anesthesiologist, apparently, and I did a good job, like, yeah, saying my entire Twitch schedule while, you know, drugged up. And the next thing I know, I got my appendix removed.
Just like that.
Yeah. I think I got discharged a little too soon. But they sent me home the next day, and it has been a literal nightmare for 14 days. Like, I am still having issues. And as of yesterday, when I went to both the doctor and the surgeon, there is nothing there. My body says there's nothing wrong, like in the tests, but it is telling me the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Like, I am feeling weird aches. I'll spare you guys the gory details, sure, but it just hasn't been good. So I got an ultrasound done on my gallbladder because they thought they were going to have to remove the gallbladder. Now they're saying they're not going to remove the gallbladder.
Okay.
Now they're saying there could be something wrong with my kidneys. There could be something wrong with my liver. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I have to go
still testing.
More blood work. More blood work I got to get done. Another CT scan. And hopefully they see something somewhere that is saying, hello, this is a problem.
I mean, we live in a day of modern medicine, Bob. You think they would come to get to the bottom of this and figure it out here?
Oh, 100%. And it's, you know, it's just one of those things. And I'm very grateful and very blessed that, like, I had the opportunity to get that out before I died. And it's just weird to me, like, you know, it hasn't even been 365 days since my heart attack. Mm-hmm. I had a heart attack, my appendix. And then remember in January, I was down with that RSV thing, COVID, whatever you want to call it. Ah, man, I am just, I don't know. I have no idea. If it wasn't for like Twitch, I would have probably lost my sanity, but I've been streaming every night, giving just pretty much every night. Tonight's the first night I'm not streaming. Because I wanted to make sure, other than the first day I got home from the hospital, that was terrible too. It's just been nuts.
Yeah.
So, and during that time, I progressively was getting worse news of why my body is acting this way post-surgery. I heard things that scared the living hell out of me, of words I didn't even know existed, count. And, you know, so I'm alive, guys. I'm healing slowly.
Yeah. Well,
it's very silly, you know, just talking to the doctor. You get the idea. Yeah. I'm just doing my best.
Well, we are live, as Bob mentioned. If you're listening to this on April 23rd, it's 9:10 p.m. here at Tuesday night.
Yes, this is live.
219-845-1100, 219-845-1100. But that's crazy, Bob. I mean, the Dan Aykroyd meeting you had. Now, at any point in time, I mean, I know you talked about the timing of it all, but during the meeting, you were just kind of holding it together there, basically.
Oh, I was, and literally, Vix was there with me. Several members of the Windy City Ghostbusters were there with me. And they saw me. And, you know, first thing is, oh, Bob maybe had a couple too much to drink. Yes, that is a very, you know, at the time it could have been chalked up to that plus nerves, plus I need. So, but eventually, you know, you get, you get through the first round. I'll just put it that way. If that was the case, you get through the first round, you're fine. Oh no, it was the second, the third, the fourth, and the 28th, or however many rounds it was before. I was like, this is a problem.
Yeah.
So you get the idea. And yeah, so my body literally got me to Dan Aykroyd. It got me to stand next to him. So you guys can see that lovely photo I got with Dan on Facebook. It's a great photo. Made my day, made my evening. Talked to him about Bob After Dark. It was an amazing experience. He's just like, well, you know, it's a little harder to travel these days, you know? And I'm like, you can call in. You can Zoom in.
The power of the radio.
And he had a vague remembrance of me and him having this conversation before. So where am I at with the Dan Aykroyd thing, right? Because this is, seems like this is my white whale, my Moby Dick. I got an email. An email chain has started between me, somebody, and my TV producer, Ray Esposito, with Oak Media Group, the guy who's doing the Spirits and Spirits producer. So if this pans out the way I want, we will have Bob After, or we will have Bob After Dark on day. We'll have Dan Aykroyd on Bob After Dark. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's full moon tonight while I'm recording this. So if you guys are watching live, it's a full moon. Make sure you toss your intentions out there. I certainly am. I have officially decided to put my my pain and suffering aside just to get to the Dan Aykroyd again, and then I could die happy. Okay. that's where we're at. But long story short, positive vibes on that end. If I don't hear anything back in the next couple of days, maybe I'll do a strategic hashtag something to Crystal Head Vodka to get their attention.
Because I mean, when that happens, I mean, you meet the guy; he's a nice guy. You're having a good time. But do you go? I mean, at that point, is there an agent by him? Is there a manager?
Oh yes, that's my hang-up. Okay. Dan is a very prestigious actor who has many years of experience. He doesn't do his own bookings.
No.
This isn't Bob Anderson you're talking
when
about.
When do you get an agent, speaking, Bob?
Speaking of, it's funny because through the Dan Aykroyd thing, you and I can make a fun announcement tonight.
All right.
We're going to be at Dark Lord Day.
Oh, so
at Three Boys Brewery. I was picking up some alcoholic beverages. This is way before. Actually, it was the night we interviewed Joe. I didn't bring this up then because it was just, I was talking to the gentleman, but I got talking to the Three Floyds rep at the liquor store I was at, and we were going back and forth, and I told him, I'm like, I appreciate this because Three Floyds just came out with their vodka. And I tried it and I was like, this is actually really good. And I'm not a vodka drinker. I'll drink Crystal Head, but I don't drink vodka outside of Crystal Head. And I was like, that's pretty decent. And we were chit chatting. I'm like, you know, I got a vodka event next week with Dan Aykroyd. And I was sitting there talking to the guy and he's like, man, you got to get him talking about UFOs and ghosts. That's how you get him to pay attention to you. And I was like, funny you bring that up. So him and I were chit-chatting, and then he was just like, yeah, you know, my name is such and such. I don't want to give his name away on here. And he's one of the sales managers at Floyd's, one of the highest up people. He knows you, Tony Panic.
I guess so. And my time of around the region, I must have came across him a few times there.
Yeah, so we chit-chatted, and I was just like, well, you know, Three Floyds is like the biggest brewery around. I mean, they're massive. And we were sitting there and I was like, Dark Lord Day would be cool. And he's just like, would you and Count Panic like to come? I mean, he didn't call him Count. He's called him by his alter ego name. Would you guys like to come to Dark Lord Day? I was like, yeah. Yeah. So we're going to be there. I don't know, saying hi to people. So if you guys are at Dark Lord Day and you see me and Count Panic, come get a photo.
Yeah. Well, and Three Floyds, I mean, talk about a name that carries here in the Northwest. It started here.
Humble Chicago. Beginnings. It's bigger than just Northwest Indiana.
I know.
Indiana,
it started
man.
Here in Munsternina, grew throughout the Chicagoland area, grew throughout the Midwest. Now you get anywhere throughout the country, I believe, maybe across the world. But they kind of kicked off not the craft beer revolution here just in the region, but the craft brew revolution throughout the country.
They were the first brewery that I could think of, like, here.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. But
how about that?
People have been listening to this now for 16 minutes being like, well, this is great, but who is this? Because there's probably new listeners tuning in.
Who are you?
So anyway, guys, welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says everything that goes bump in the night. I've said that part already, but we are your weekly-ish show where we talk about legends, lore, supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, and of course, Count Panic's favorite sucker flavor to get from the doctor when he was a kid.
A cherry, right? Cherry.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. How about you?
Following themes, I was either grape or blue raspberry.
When did they stop doing that?
They still do it. I mean, I think we stopped doing it.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know. I thought they just kind of stopped doing it in general out there. But I guess, you got to grow it at some point. But yeah.
Yes. So we usually split the show up into two parts. This is going to be a shorter episode because I'm here in Zoom and I don't know how well this is going to translate. So usually the show's between an hour and a half. Tonight it's going to probably be a little under an hour.
That's why you should call in now.
Yeah. Can I take calls while I'm on the Zoom and hear the phone?
Take calls while you're on the Zoom.
And I could hear the phone call.
You'll be able to hear them, yes.
I'm not used to this. I'm on the other side of count when I have guests on. So, guys, 219-845-1100. Feel free to call in and say hello. All right.
Right off the bat, Bob, do you want
to
take
a caller? Yeah, we'll take it live.
We're going to take it live? All right, we'll take it live. Yes.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, can you hear me, Bob, on Zoom?
I could hear you on Zoom, John. It is nice to hear your voice.
Hey, I'm glad to hear your voice too, Bob. We missed you last few weeks, and sorry you had to go through with all you did there, especially during the time of Dan Aykroyd's meeting. I knew you were really revved up for that.
Made it work though. I got through that meeting. By golly!
Hey, nothing was going to stop you from that, huh?
No. No, my appendix could have burst on spot, and I would have gotten through that.
Well, you know what? Hopefully it was, obviously it was well worth it going to see him. And hopefully, just stay on him on that. And you know what? You're looking for an agent, I'm available. But no, seriously, just stay on him on that, and see what happens if you don't hear from him after a while. I would still pursue it, definitely, though, my opinion.
Well, I appreciate that, John. Thank you.
Yeah,
so
but
much.
Anyway, more importantly, you're in our prayers. I hope you get well and everything. Your tests come out okay, and maybe we'll see you at Dark Lord's Day if I could, see who I know that gets me in there.
It is not easy to get into that thing. Count Panic though, we just go waltz right in.
That's one definite hard ticket to get to. But I'm glad to hear you guys, were invited to that. I hear it's always a good time. But more importantly, I just called to wish you well and glad to hear you back.
Absolutely, thank you so much, John. We appreciate
it. All right, Bob. Take care of yourself.
Thank you so much. We appreciate
that. How about that? And you could also be like John, 219-845-1100. I volunteered to be your agent there, Bob.
I could use an agent. I have a manager, a meowinger, if you will. Vix takes really good care of me.
But that's different from an agent.
I suppose so. Technically, I think you're my agent by definition, I digress.
What's it called? Or your advocate.
The Bob Anderson advocate. Anyway.
I'm all your right. Advocate.
So we usually divide the show up into two parts. First part's the weird spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go scouring the internet for the weird and unusual news. Anything from cryptids making it into a picture, or weird advances that borderline on science fiction, ghost sightings, all of those things make it into media. I get a news article, I read it, Count Panic gives us his reaction with the hashtag Panic's Take. Yeah. And then the second part of the show is the lore of the week, ripped right from the diaries of Dr. Ben Vanderson. And this week we have a story that is going to be near and dear to Count Panic's heart.
Oh, do we?
It's a vampire
story. Oh, well, let's get to it.
It's a vampire story from Wisconsin.
Oh, man. Is it a cheese curd sucking vampire?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
All right. So normally I give you guys three news articles tonight because we're just kind of filling the waters. We're going to get you one news article. And this comes to, and I couldn't come back without this. First news article and the only news article of the night comes from our old pal, Tim Banal at Coast to Coast AM. During my downtime, I'm going to send Tim some fan mail. Because if it wasn't for Tim, I wouldn't have my job.
How about that?
Oh, and you know what? Tim has a wonderful snazzy outfit that Tim wears for their profile photo on for the Coast to Coast website. Yeah. That is one snappy dressed human being.
Really?
Anyway,
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. So first story comes to us from Coast to Coast AM, written by Tim Banal. Michigan woman's lottery win predicted during tarot card reading. Hmm. A Michigan woman who won a whopping $500,000 on a scratch-off says that her good fortune was seemingly foretold by the way of a tarot reading earlier that day. The Genesee County resident who opted to remain anonymous told the state lottery officials that the remarkable chain of events began when she broke from her normal routine while en route to the soothsaying session. Once a week, I purchase a few instant games and I usually always buy them from the same store, she explained. However, the day I won, I was on my way to a tarot reading, which led her to buy the tickets from a different location. When meeting the tarot reader shortly thereafter, the woman was informed that money would be coming into my way very soon. Amazingly, the lottery winner marveled that I tried to think of ways that this might happen and gave no thought to the still be played tickets sitting in her purse. Later that evening, when she finally got around to seeing how she fared, the woman was understandably elated to discover that she had won a life-changing $500,000. She intends to use that money to take a cruise with the friend and pay off her car, while putting the rest of a sizable portion of the prize in towards investments. Whether or not that includes a tip for the tarot reader, well, who predicted her good fortune, remains to be seen. Hashtag panic state.
Yeah, I mean, how about that? You go to a psychic fortune teller and that happens. Now, I know there's a lot of speculation on what's legit, what's not, but for that to happen, Bob, I gotta say, I mean, but if you knew, if everybody, say that any psychic out there knew the winning lottery numbers, wouldn't they all be just multi-millionaires by this point?
Yes. That's I need you guys to know something. We talk about this a lot. You have to be careful when it comes to psychic hotlines, psychic people, the type, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There are gifted people out there that do tarot readings. I know, I've gotten mine done. I don't let anybody do them, but I'd let some people in to get that done. I've done a palm reading. I've had my bones thrown, but they're done by actual practitioners. They're done by actual like people.
Yeah,
that are gifted. Yeah. And they allude to things. They don't say this is what's going to happen, right? I don't know. It's got to be careful on these things. But, you know, did I ask you the hashtag panic take already?
Yeah, I did with you about the psychics and the...
Oh, that's right. Sorry, yeah. Sorry, guys. I can't remember. You're this right. Is why we're only doing one news story tonight. So I don't know, you go and you pay for these types of things and they make the one cold call that says you're going to win money and then you scratch it off. If I was in her shoes, I would go and at least give the tarot reader like $500 or $1,000. I would in a heartbeat. But that's just, you know, maybe this one's one of the gifted ones that does it. Maybe this is somebody that she frequently sees and gets something done. I know a lot of people that'll read just for a side hustle, or maybe that's like what they do. Maybe the person that did the reading is an actual metaphysical practitioner.
Yeah,
whatever the case might be, you just got to be careful. Just because this person won because they said it doesn't mean you should be booking tons of money into getting your cards read by random individuals and hoping for the best. Know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, be careful out there is your words of encouragement.
Absolutely, but congratulations to this winner. Also, I'm pretty sure, and you can't quote me on this, because they don't say this in the article, but I have a vague idea that this is the same one I read. Would you like to know what scratch off this person won their 500 grand on.
What was it?
Ghostbusters. I'm almost positive it's the same story.
The Ghostbusters one?
The Ghostbusters scratch off game.
All right, yeah. Well, that means you're big winners if you do the Ghostbusters.
100%.
Can't lose. Well, you can't lose, but
you can lose, yes. All right. So you ready to take a quick brigade count just for me to throw in a buffer?
Yeah, throw in the buffer.
All right. To our live fans, stick around. We'll be right back. And to our podcast fans, stay tuned. You're about to be hearing words from a show that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
And we're back. Oh, hey there, Count.
Hey there, Bob.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Doing well. What'd you do during break?
Bob, I got the winning lottery ticket during the break.
You got the winning lottery ticket?
I mean, it hasn't been announced yet, but I'm for certain. The psychic told me it was the winning lottery ticket.
The winning lottery ticket.
So
that's pretty great.
If you don't see me next week, you know where I went.
Yes.
What'd you do during break?
I went on a hunt.
Hunt for what?
My appendix.
Oh.
It seems to be missing.
Ah, the old joke. Oldest joke in the book.
Yes. So, Count, one of our favorite states in our lovely United States of America, the country that we call home. Yeah. One of our favorite states to visit, one of our favorite states to speak at, and one of my favorite states, period, especially because a certain somebody, Queen of the Night, is from there. Wisconsin has a near and dear place to not only my heart, but your heart as well.
Yeah, Wisconsin, man. Wisconsin. I tell you, growing up, the trips to the Wisconsin Dells, to Lake Geneva as a kid, just incredible. I mean, they're known for cheese curds. They're known for fudge. They're known for beer. I mean, those three things alone are worth checking out the state, right, Bob?
Oh, 100%. Culver's does an okay job, but nothing compares to a real Wisconsin cheese curd. None of this crap you get where you're not in Wisconsin and they claim they have Wisconsin cheese curds. They're not real.
No.
You have to go to like Marsh Cheese Castle.
Home of the Marsh Cheese Castle.
I always go back to the Marsh Cheese Castle. Well, the Marsh Cheese Castle has an exceptional cheese curd.
Did I tell you? I told you. One time we went to Wisconsin, it was a little bit early, and I was meeting up there somewhere. And I just waited outside in the parking lot for the Mars Cheese Castle to open.
Yes.
And it was like, I was the first one at the Cheese Castle for a day. And they were like, wow, this guy waited an hour to get inside the Cheese Castle. How about that?
Yes, I've had drinks there. It's a good place. So listen, Mars Cheese Castle, come on.
Come on.
But I digress. It's Wisconsin's near and dear to our hearts. One of my first convention I ever spoke at was Anime Milwaukee. I think the first convention you ever spoke at was Wisconsin Comic Con, right?
Wisconsin Comic Con. I mean, we did the
Krampus. Was that your first con
there?
That you spoke at?
That was the Wisconsin.
Right? See, so it's just Wisconsin's just home. I mean, it's home away from home, right? I got roots here in Northwest Indiana, then obviously Chicago. That's home, mm-hmm. And then Wisconsin just feels like a really good home away from home, you know?
Yeah, Wisconsin. I mean, can't place. Beat it.
But what if I was to tell you that there is something else going on in Wisconsin?
Something else?
Yeah, there's something else going on there. What's other than the cheese, the beer, and the thousand-yard stare that I call the Wisconsin stare, there lies the story of a vampire known as the Mineral Point Vampire.
The Mineral Point Vampire.
The Mineral Point Vampire. Old school fans of my show, pre-podcast days, I'm talking like the old whispering days, may remember this story because I used to say this one when I used to do cons in Wisconsin. This was years ago. So it's kind of cool to be able to come back to it and do an actual episode on it. But so tonight we're talking about the Mineral Point Vampire, the official vampire that's not Count of the state of Wisconsin.
Wow.
Yes. So let's start.
Bob, I must not have been listening back in the old days.
You just don't pay attention.
I want to hear about the Mineral Point Vampire.
Yes. This is from Wisconsinology, which is a, it's like a Wisconsin strange, high strangeness, like website blog. And they do different things. This is from them, written by none other than Frank Anderson. I think no relation.
I was gonna say.
Mineral Point is an old Cornish mining settlement set amidst the driftless region of southwest Wisconsin. The place is loaded with history and early 19th century lore. On the evening of March 14th, 1981, police responded to reports of a strange man lurking in Graceland Cemetery. At the cemetery, Officer John Pepper reported approached a tall, pale, darkly clad figure, a huge person wearing a black cape with a white painted face, about 6'5" and ugly. When Pepper asked the figure what it was doing, it turned and ran. The officer followed. The chase ended when the pale man leapt over a 4-foot fence at the edge of the cemetery into an adjacent cow pasture where Angus bulls were grazing in the field. Pepper wisely avoided that chase, and the city was abuzz with vampire fever. Over the next 2 days, which include April 1st, the police were in new the sightings of the lurking vampire figures. It didn't help that some inspired locals showed up at local bars dressed like vampires. 23 years later, on March 2004, police responded to reports of a dark-clad, pale individual sitting in a tree outside of an apartment complex heckling tenants. When police arrived, the individual fled. An officer followed but quickly lost sight of the fast-moving individual. There were tracks in the snow. The police followed the footprints to a concrete wall where they ended. In 2008, the third and most frightening episode occurred. On July 11th, 2008, at 10 p.m., Mineral Point residents Brandon Hines, 22 years old, and girlfriend Jamie Marker, 19 years old at the time, were fishing off the jetty on the far west shore of Ludden Lake when the couple heard some noises coming from under the jetty. The noises were described like something was using the boards of the jetty like a ladder, climbing along underneath us. Hines began stomping on the boards, believing it was some kind of animal and hoping to scare it away. He aimed his flashlight between the cracks of the boards, and when he and Marker heard the water splashing down towards the other side of the jetty, Hines shone his flashlight toward the sound to see a figure with dark hair, a pale face, pulling itself up onto the jetty. Hines and Marker stood in shock as the figure began to rise to its feet. Marker turned and ran up the path towards Hines' vehicle as Hines kept his flashlight aimed at the figure. It was wearing some sort of Dracula-looking cape and a suit of sort of, Hines said. Marker claimed to have seen the same. Hines threw his flashlight towards the figure and ran up the path towards Marker, who was already in the vehicle with the doors locked. As Hines started the vehicle and began leaving, Marker saw the passenger window that the figure was coming up the path at a run, and she screamed for Hines to hurry. The couple drove to the Mineral Point Police Department and made a statement directly after. A patrol unit in the area of Ludden Lake invested the area where Hines and Marker had been found, no one. Hines and Marker returned the next day to retrieve their belongings with everything accounted for, except Hines' flashlight. Whatever it is, Hines says, they could keep it. Strange, huh?
It is very strange, yeah.
What's even cooler is I found the official newspaper article about it.
Really? How'd you find that?
It's from the Wisconsin State Journal. Written Thursday, April 2nd, 1981.
Okay.
So this is going to sound very similar to what you guys just read, but this is interesting because when it comes to like the paranormal, like news articles, you know, like Beastbury Road or like that was an actual newspaper article that was published by Linda Godfrey, you know, or the Mothman stuff that was out in the Point Pleasant Gazette or whatever, those articles come up. But it's interesting to look at a journalistic perspective versus like a blogger perspective.
Yeah.
Like if I was to write about, you know, If I was to sit down and write this up, I'm going to spice up the text, right? No matter which way you want to look at it, unless you're a physical journalistic person, like I'm assuming the Wisconsin State Journal is not me spicing something up, you get the bare bones story. You know what I'm saying? It's the reason why I never went into news writing. My news writing teacher, bless him, Neil Nemeth, love the guy, taught me more about my existence than probably anybody in the entire world. Love the guy. But he remember sitting down with him because I, you know, at one point I thought I'd be a journalist. And he said, Bob, you're too emotional. He's like, you put too much emotion in your writing. He said, when it comes to journaling, like, you know, being a journalist, it is calculated, or at least that's what it's supposed to be. Obviously, that's an argument for another day. But when you look at that, it's just mechanical writing. So we're going to read this article. I'm going to read it word for word for you. On the article clipping, it doesn't have who wrote the article, unfortunately, on there. And because this is just a little clipping, but this is from the Wisconsin State Journal from Thursday, April 2nd, 1981. Mineral Point. Count Dracula has arrived in the small former lead mining community. For the past several nights, police have been plagued with reports of, and I quote, vampires jumping out of shadows around the downtown area and scaring people. It all started on Monday night when police officer John Pepper encountered a strange-looking person in the cemetery, said Police Lieutenant Bill Trott. According to Pepper's report, he was routinely shining his light through Graceland Cemetery when it flashed on a huge person with a white face paint and wearing a dark cape. Pepper ran after the dark stranger and lost him among the gravestones. He later described his fleeing vampires being 6'3" and ugly. Last night, Tuesday, we had a half a dozen vampires on the loose in town, Trott said. We received several phone calls and we were stopped by two people on the street reporting encounters with white faced, creepy looking people jumping out of the shadows at them. While Trott and several Iowa County sheriff's officers chased vampires around town, they were unable to catch any. Trott blamed the rash of vampire Tuesdays on a night of pranksters who had heard of Pepper's Monday night encounter. We will probably have vampires around here for the next 2 weeks now, and that they think they can get away with it and scare a few people, Trott said. The lieutenant said that the department had many problems in the past with vandalism at the cemetery, and there was no damage done Monday night. I don't know if there was any out there last night. I can't get anyone to go back to the cemetery at night, Trott said. I even offered to pay John Pepper overtime to stake the place out for his vampire, but he wouldn't bite. Boots. And the lawman added with a chuckle. Trott swears his report is not an April Fool's joke. And I've read further that the police officer tracked those footprints to a wall. Then they went and looked over the wall to see if they could find footprints leading away from it. No footprints.
Really? Not the one. That's a classic.
And apparently the fence is extremely high. And this thing, I mean, he described it being 6'5", was able to do one bound leap up onto this fence post.
Hmm. Yeah. Wild. I mean, that's a classic stuff. Sign, right? A classic sign that you have a vampire on your hands, Bob.
I would say Mineral Point has a vampire problem. The last one found was in 2008. Few years later, we'd have the clown problem we talk about on here from time to time. I'm glad we don't have a vampire problem.
What's the bigger problem, a clown problem or a vampire problem?
The vampire, I guess in Wisconsin, they got a vampire problem,
This is
such an interesting story because I have a newspaper article. This isn't like, you know, some blog I found online reiterating like folklore, which there's nothing wrong with that, but this is like an actual piece of journalistic thing in front of me. And I understand that this reporter is doing this extremely tongue-in-cheek, but they're giving us facts.
Yeah.
And that you can't discredit what this Pepper saw that night.
Yeah. Well, they're doing their due diligence basically to get that article up and running there. But I mean, the vampire too. I mean, is it true the classic ways to stop the vampire? I'd never been stopped before. And
I was going to say, well, be careful, Count.
Hopefully nobody stops me, but I just assume it's the classic ways still stand true for vampires of any in any decade.
Yes.
Wooden stakes and whatnot.
It sounds to me like I need to go to Mineral Point to go stake out some vampires. All pun intended.
Are there good?
You're going to be good though. You're a good vampire. We'll keep.
I was
going to
say, besides me, can there be good vampires?
We've been through this. Top three vampires that I wouldn't kill. You,
thank you.
The Count from Sesame Street, Count Chocula.
Count Chocula.
Wow. Count Chocula. You know, I have, I call my little brother Matt. For the Twitch fans out there, you know him. He joins my streams from time to time. You know what he calls you?
What?
He calls you Count Chocula.
Count Chocula. Hey, I'll take good company. Count Chocula. Count Chocula, yeah. Count Chocula. That cereal, again, it should be a year-long cereal with those guys.
I agree. I love me some Count Chocula. Yeah, it's my favorite out of all of them.
The Sesame Street Count's just educational. So. But this Count, the Mineral Point Dracula, I mean, we're still trying to figure it out, it seems like.
There's no follow-up, no nothing. The story stops there. There was no more reports. No, 2008.
Sorry.
2008, there was the couple fishing, and this thing, like, worked out from underneath this dock and scared them,
So we're about, 15 years removed?
Yeah, give or take. Yeah, just about.
Yeah. I mean, how long? I mean, when do you think the next sighting's going to be?
I don't know.
Oh.
But I'm going to chalk up the 2008 because they say it's like an anniversary or close to it. Mm. I'm going to chalk that up to just a copycat, which I need you to know, if you're going to pretend to be a vampire and jump out and scare me, and that is not Halloween, I am not held responsible for what happens.
Stake.
If I stake you in the heart because you jump out at me dressed as a vampire and you start hissing at me, I may drive a wooden stake through your heart. Now, whether or not you turn to a pile of dust, that's up to you. So maybe you shouldn't dress like a vampire.
No.
If Dr. Ben Vanderson was here, he would lay down some knowledge for us about what not to do.
But if you do run across a vampire, Bob, right, don't look in their eyes.
Don't look in their eye. I mean, I look in your eyes often. You have pretty eyes, Cop Panic.
They're blue eyes, which I tell you, makes for good vampiring.
That's that Polish blue eye in you. My dad always said that too, because I got the same thing going on.
Blue-eyed vampire.
I don't know. It's an interesting case nonetheless. I think that if there were multiple people out after the initial sighting, because the initial sighting that Pepper had where it ran into the field of bulls to be not seen again, and then there's the story of the cops finding the one at the apartment complex that just disappeared, went over the wall. Out of all the sightings, those two strike me as actual instances that I'd put an asterisk by and be like, that's worth looking into.
Yeah.
Whereas the other ones I'm going to chalk up as, stupid people doing stupid things.
A hoopla.
Hoopla. Hoopla's correct. Yeah. Hashtag hoopla.
A lot of people are just committing hoopla out there.
I would say so. Yeah. But Count, thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah.
You have no idea how much I appreciate being on here. And I'm hopefully going to be back in the studio next week. That's the plan in my head.
What they say? What is the driving recovery time for?
I'm should be driving already, but I'm still on narcotics because I'm still in pain.
Yeah, don't be doing that.
So I can't drive while I'm on those.
No.
And it's the way I have to sit because all my incisions are healed and feel fine. Except the one that's on the right hand side. If I have to recline my seat back because the seatbelt rests right against that and it hurts.
Yeah.
So I have to recline my seat back and it's a whole thing. I should be driving by next week. That is the plan in my head.
All right. Hey Bob, we're in a case of modern technology here, so anytime.
I understand that, but man, I miss my desk. I miss seeing you in person.
Well, there you go.
My socializing has been bare minimum. I get pictures of my cat sent to me because I don't get to see them.
Yeah.
I hear about social things going on. It's just I'm doing something, but Twitch is great. I'll tell you guys that. If you want more Bob content, I'm on Twitch all the time now, guys. Twitch.tv/BobAfterDark.
I see there's a lot going on there, yeah.
I do it a lot. It's nuts. It's good times.
Playing games and going online and stuff.
Yep. Oh, real quick too, before I let us go, Bishop James Long. Remember Bishop Long?
He was on
our show.
Yeah,
Zach Baggins' personal priest. We had him on the show some time ago. Lovely guy, brilliant individual, lovely to talk to. Does some parapsychology courses, demonology, paranormal studies, angelology and genealogy. He offers those four or five courses, however it is, he offers four or five courses in parapsychology, not credited to university, just online courses. He usually charges $50 for them.
Yeah.
But in this case, he's offering them for free.
Wow.
For a limited time. I'm not getting a kickback from this. This isn't an affiliate thing because he's doing it as a humble bundle. So you can tip him at the end based on how you feel. On all the money he is raising is going straight to his like ministry charity duties, because he's not Roman Catholic. He's old traditional Catholic. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't get backing from the Vatican. So what he gets is his.
Yeah.
So all of his money, he goes straight back to it. They do like a Habitat for Humanity thing through his religious thing. So the money goes to that. It's for a good cause, guys. I signed up for the demonology course. I'm going to start that tomorrow, which I'm looking forward to.
Wow.
And then after that, I'm going to sign up for the paranormal studies course. So if you guys sign up with me, we could take the class together. Find out more information going to Bishop James Long's website. You can find him online, Bishop James Long. And that's only free for a limited time.
There you have it, Bob.
Yep. All right, Count, any closing words for our audience tonight?
Everybody stay safe, Bob. You feel better as the days continue on. And everybody, check your lottery tickets.
Check your lottery tickets, folks. You never know.
You never know, especially if the psychic tells you you got the winning lottery ticket.
Yes.
You might as well.
Folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me and Count, I just want to wish you guys sweet dreams. Mom, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable, and doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are: not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.